Following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
You're going to be blessed by this message, the peace in His presence, as Pastor Jeff Wilson comes to share with you from God's Word. So shalom and grace and peace upon you. And I will see you Christmas Eve, but welcome right now, Pastor Jeff. God bless you.
How funny is he? How funny is he? He says, I'm going to put a welcome video together for you so I can introduce you. And he's doing that on the way out to Palm Springs. Can you imagine the scene as you're driving out to Palm Springs and there's a guy out there with a shepherd's staff and he looks like he's a shepherd off Highway 111 out to Palm Springs. Like, what is going on here? But he is funny. How many of you guys are visitors for the first time here at Refuge? Raise your hand. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I could go on many words to express to you how cool our head pastor is, but I think the video does enough, right? Kind of tells you a little about who he is. He's a great guy, and he will be back Christmas Eve. Let's pray. Lord, this morning we come for a very, very important purpose. We come to hear from you. I think that's why we show up on Sunday mornings is because we want a word from you. We want to hear from you, Lord. We want to be present with you. And so, Lord, this morning I pray that as we've all gathered, Lord, that you would speak to us. Lord, directly speak to each one of us this morning. Through the power of your word and through the power of your spirit, Lord, speak to us. Impact our lives. Lord, I truly believe that each and every person in this room had a reason to be here today, Lord, that you might speak to them. I pray for less of me and so much more of you. I know any change, Lord, that I could impact would have such a short shelf life. But Lord, I know you can do something so much greater and so with so much more power and so much more lasting. So I pray for that this morning. Do something great in this place today. We show up with expectant hearts and minds. Amen. Amen. Well, as you may know, and maybe you don't know because you're here for the first time, we've been in a series called The Presence. The presence of God. And the first week, part one of the series, Pastor Bill, he talked about this FaceTime with God, that God comes to dwell with us, to draw near to us, so that you and I, we can have FaceTime with the creator of the universe. And he said, listen, Pastor Bill said this, he said, I want to encourage you this season to draw near to him, find a way to get FaceTime with him. And I wonder, have we done that this season? Have you found a way to carve out a niche in your day to have FaceTime with the living God? Because that's what he wants. He desires that. The second week, last week, part two of the series, Pastor Bill talked about God's presence. It's always been here. Forever and ever and ever, God's presence is here. And in the Old Testament, we read about these unique times when he kind of comes down and he has FaceTime with prophets and people that he spoke to directly. But then in these times, we have this very unique opportunity in the presence of this baby that we worship on Christmas, right? The presence of Jesus. In no other time does God come and kind of just break through and we see him more clearly than ever before in the presence of Jesus, which is why I think we get so crazy about Christmas. And this morning, what I want to talk about to you is this opportunity that I think that you and I have that maybe sometimes we miss out on, but we know God's presence is there and he wants to give us a gift. And I believe it's the gift of peace. God wants to give each and every one of us, those that call on the name of the Lord, this gift of peace. But then you might say to me, Jeff, yeah, I can see it. We talk about it. We sing about it. We see passages regarding it. I have ornaments on my tree that say peace. I see big signs that say peace. But quite frankly, at no other time in all of my year, 365 days of that year, do I have the least amount of peace than at this holiday, this time when you, the church talks about peace or we talk about peace, that no other time do I have such a lack of peace. Well, let me share with you a little bit about why that may be happening. What I found is this, that the holidays act as a sort of megaphone for all the things that are already going on inside of our life. What does a megaphone do? It disrupts the peace. I don't know if you know this, but these things, and I'll only do it once, I promise. That's disruptive. That is not peaceful, and I won't do it again, I promise. But a megaphone goes over the top of all the other voices and sounds that are happening in the room. It was designed that way, that someone be able to hear you if you spoke into that megaphone, that it would disrupt the peace and get someone to an awareness of what's going on. And I would just submit to you this, the megaphone and the holidays do the same thing. There are things that are going on inside of your heart that the holidays bring out and magnify that thing that is going on. And let me give you an example of what maybe that would be. We live busy lives, right? All the time we live busy lives. And then what happens in the holiday season? I gotta shop, right? I gotta get my shop on. I gotta go, 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 go. I've got a list. I've got kids. I've got friends. I've got coworkers. They all want something for Christmas, and I've got this list that I've gotta go. So I shop, I shop, I shop. I can get a better deal at Walmart than I can at Target, or I can get a better deal at Target. I can go, quite frankly, Amazon, right? That's the place to get the best deals. And you don't have to run around. But anyways, you keep going. You're shopping. I need discounts. And we're running and running and running. And the holiday just magnifies that thing that's already going on of busyness in our life. We have to get out there. We have Christmas parties we have to go to. And you can't just go to the Christmas party, right? You have to bake something. You have to bring something. White elephant gifts, cookies, pastries, whatever it is. I got to shop for those things. They don't just magically appear. And I've got to wrap all those presents, right? I've got these kids and they all need their gifts wrapped. So that takes time. When do I have time for any of that? The holidays magnify something that's already going on in our lives, which is we're busy people. The second thing it does, and I don't know if this is true for you, but holidays make it very clear how just dysfunctional our families really are. Amen? Amen? I mean, we really, around this type of season, we think, man, there's no time where I see how together or not together my family is, how dysfunctional we all really are. And we start to think, listen, we're not like everybody else. Everybody else has normal families. Everybody else, my friends at work, they all have normal families. My church family, they must all have normal families, but not my family. We are so dysfunctional. And we see that very clearly at the holidays. It magnifies itself so much and it screams, you're dysfunctional. And we live with that. But that's something, listen, we live with every other day of the year. But at the holiday season, it just draws itself out more and more and more. I would say this, around these holiday seasons, we get this feeling, and maybe you've had it before. My kids, they start circling everything possible in Target, Walmart, and Toys R Us ads. We have magazines at home that everything is circled in it. Like one will take the red pen, the green pen, and everything is just circled. They want everything. These kids, they want everything. And my oldest, she's getting a little bit older now, her eyes are more in tune with the bigger, more expensive things as well. And at no other time in all the year do I feel like, man, I wish I could give you everything that you want. As a parent, my deepest heart's desires, I'd love to just bless you with everything that you want, but you know what? We can't. Mom and Dad, we can't do that. Our budget doesn't fit that. And I know for some of you, it's like, I can't even get you anything. There are people call in from time to time at the church who really can't afford anything. And during this holiday season, that is so hard because the megaphone is yelling, you don't have enough. You'll never have enough. Your kids won't be happy. You can't satisfy the needs of your children. And those are hard words to hear. And yet, holiday season, they're magnified even more. And the last one, I know this is true, a lot of you. Holiday season, wrestling with someone you've lost that you love. Around this time of year, this is the hardest season for those people who've lost someone that they deeply, deeply love. And it just comes back like a flood of emotions and memories and thoughts. And as they think about what could have been and what if they would have been here, and those are hard times. And it is a difficult season. So I just want to say, it's kind of ironic to me that we as the church and we as people, we talk about peace and peace and peace, and yet I just named at least five, you could probably go further, with what the megaphone is yelling at you this holiday season of it seems like there's just no peace. It seems like of all the time and all the year, of all the seasons, this is the time when we don't have peace. I want you to see this passage with me, Isaiah 9. You can turn with me there, or if your eyes are good enough, you can read with me here. Up to you. Isaiah 9. And you'll know this passage. You've heard it. Here it is. Listen. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Listen. Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. So then you might say to me, what happened? Where is that peace that was promised in the Prince of Peace? That forever peace, that eternal peace, where is it? Because clearly, clearly in my life, in the lives of the family around me, in the lives of my friends and coworkers, I don't see that peace. And maybe this morning you're here for the first time, maybe you haven't spent a lot of time in church, or the Bible's not your thing, or whatever, and you'd be saying that same thing as like, okay, I see clearly, right? Where's the Prince of Peace? Did Jesus make a mistake? Did Isaiah write something he shouldn't have written? This morning, what I want to do is I want to look at four ways, four reasons why Christians look at Jesus and call him the Prince of Peace. I want to give you, if you're not a believer here this morning, four reasons why Christians call Jesus the Prince of Peace, why we should have more peace maybe than we even do. I want to give you four reasons this morning why that is. And here's what I want to do as I spent time praying and saying, Lord, what do you want me to share this morning? This is the thing that he just really impressed upon my heart. For some of you, this morning is about turning down the volume of that megaphone that is yelling so loudly in your ear, that it's just coming at you time and time again in those quietness of the night as you're trying to sleep and that megaphone is blaring and you have the worry and you have the anxiety and the pain and the suffering and the hurt and all that going on inside of you, that I hope this morning, one of those things the Lord does, and I'm saying the Lord will have to do this, is that he will help you turn down that megaphone that is so loud. And here's why. Because there's a megaphone drowning out the voice that matters. There's a megaphone in each one of our lives that would love to drown out the voice that really matters, and that's the Lord's voice. And so this morning, my hope is that these four simple points will help to just say, listen, I can hold on to these things, and when I start to hear that megaphone so loudly, and I can't turn it down, and I start to get out of control, Lord, I need to bank on something here. I need to bank on you. And so this morning, I want to look at four points. The first one is this. If you're a note taker, I will try to go as slowly as I possibly can. Here it is. The question is, how is Jesus the Prince of Peace? Jesus is the Prince of Peace that ends our war with God. Jesus is our Prince of Peace that ends our war with God. Now, that might sound funny to some of you because you think, I'm not at war with God. I mean, I have questions about God, but I'm not at war with God. I mean, I struggle sometimes with my belief in him, but I wouldn't say that necessarily I'm at war with him. But I want to show you what the Bible has to say. And I would just say to those people, all of us at some point, all of us at some point were at war with God. And where do I get that from? Do I make it up? No. Take a look at this. Romans 5:9. Since we have now been justified by his blood, who's the his? Let's try that again. Who's the his? Jesus, right? His blood, Jesus's blood. How much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? Him is Jesus. For if while we were God's what? Enemies. What do we have in war? Enemies. Romans is very clearly laying out, listen, at one point, apart from Jesus, we were going to incur God's wrath, listen, and we were enemies of him. And it wasn't based on a feeling or an emotion or how many good things I could do that I came out of war with him, that I signed a peace treaty with him. It was through his blood we were reconciled to him through the death of his son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Here's the reality. All of us have been broken. At some point, we all came and we were broken. How many of you guys, because I know this happens in our home, how many of you guys have broken very special ornaments? Anybody ever broken like a really special ornament? Or have kids who've broken a really special ornament? We're averaging probably one a year where our kids are just breaking ornaments like crazy because, you know, they get crazy around the tree and it falls. How many of you guys have cats that break ornaments? Anybody have a cat break an ornament? Yeah, that happens too. Animals. Listen, have you ever tried to piece those ornaments back together? It doesn't always work out real well. In fact, all often, you cannot piece those ornaments back to the way they were. And you can try, and you can try, and you can get the right glue, and you can try to fit those cracks all together, but you can always see that there's still some damage to that ornament. And I would just say this morning that some of us have been trying to piece our relationship back together with God on our own. Yeah, we felt the tension. We felt the lack of peace. And we haven't maybe identified that that's been this war with the Creator that's been going on. That I, Jeff, yeah, I don't have peace in my life. Yeah, I don't have a great relationship with God, and I don't have peace. And maybe this morning for the first time, he'll put it together for you that Jesus is needed to mold you back together in who you were created to be in the presence of the living God. That you've sensed it, you've felt it, it's painful. I want peace in my life. But you've been trying to get peace without the God of peace. You've been trying to glue it back together, but it's just not going, and it doesn't seem to fit, and I just need help. And so Jesus, listen, Jesus steps in as our Prince of Peace. I want you to see this very clearly in these two passages. Isaiah 53:5 says this, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and with his wounds we are healed." Romans 5:1-2 says this, "Since we have been justified through faith, we have what? Peace with God." Justified by faith in Jesus Christ, we now have peace with God. Colossians 1:20, "And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through the shedding of his blood shed on the cross." I want you to see this very clearly. Maybe you're seeing it for the first time, or maybe by the grace of God, you're seeing this more clearly than you've ever seen it before. Yeah, I don't have peace in my life. That megaphone is so loud. But I've never connected with the Lord the way he's asked me to. I've been trying to piece my life together, but it's just not working. And so Jesus, listen, is our Prince of Peace when it comes to this war with God. Maybe even more clearly than ever before, you could see this. Five times in the New Testament, our God is called the God of Peace. Five times our New Testament says, this is the God of Peace. I'm praying this morning that maybe some of you who've thought, I just want peace in my life and it doesn't seem to be coming, that for the first time, maybe you're connecting with the Prince of Peace so that you connect with the God of Peace. Second thing this morning, he's the Prince of Peace in our war. The second thing is this. Actually, I got to show you this. Look at this. You've seen this before? No God, no peace. Can no God, can no peace. You've seen that, yeah? No God, no peace. No God, no peace. I want you to see the second thing. Jesus is the Prince of Peace in our relationship with others. Jesus is our Prince of Peace in our relationship with other people. There has been no one else in all of history. And this is something I think, this is interesting. Some of us, maybe some of you who don't believe, you don't come to church that often, or this is the first time I'm walking through these doors and I don't really know what I believe about the Bible. Here's something I think that we may share in common is this, that you would uphold and you would say that, yeah, that guy Jesus, he was a good guy. He really promoted relationship and love, and the things that I've heard about him have been great. We might have commonality in that because, listen, there's been no other time in all of history where somebody has walked the face of this earth and demonstrated love for humanity like Jesus demonstrated love for humanity. There's no one else that can come even close to what he did and who he is. See, Jesus modeled the life. Where did he model it? Well, when he would meet people for the first time, and the down and outs and the outcasts and those people who no one would touch or talk to or invite over to their house, he would connect with them. He would talk with them. He would touch them. And those people who betrayed him, his best friends, the people he invested in, and then that night they would leave him and scatter and be afraid. And he would say, listen, I'd come back to you. I'll humble myself and be your friend again. Those people who mocked him and beat him on the cross and made fun of him, he said, Father, forgive them. What? For they know not what they do. In Jesus, we get this model of what it looks like. Now, some of you are going to have this opportunity to model Jesus this Christmas holiday, right? Because there's people coming over to your house that you just assume not come over to your house. Amen? I mean, there's this conversation that's gone on. Honey, do we really have to invite them? Like, we don't even really know them. Or maybe even worse, we don't even like them. Do we have to invite them over? Maybe some of you have had this conversation. Like, we're sending them a card? We don't even really know them that well. Are we sending them a card? Or they sent us a card. I guess we have to send them a card. They bought us a gift. I guess we have to buy them a gift. But we don't even really like them. I'm sure at some point this holiday season, you've driven around in these shopping center areas, maybe even in the church parking lot, and you thought to yourself, they took my spot. How dare they? I had my blinker on. I was waiting to pull in, and they took it. It'd be funny. How many of you guys had that happen at least one time this holiday season? Yeah, it happens. And then you feel like, man, I have been so wrong. This is not right, right? I'm angry. I'm frustrated, and it kind of carries with you. Jesus said, listen, I'm going to model this for you. I'm going to show you what it looks like to be peacemakers. I'm going to show it to you in my own life. Because listen, he not only shows it to us, but he actually, and this is the harder part of it, he calls us to it. He calls us to it. I want you to see this passage. Jesus is the Prince of Peace between us. And he says, listen, I'm not going to model this crazy kind of love for people that goes outside the norm. I'm going to actually call each and every one of my followers to actually follow this. Listen to what he says here, Matthew 5:9, right? He's got a group of people. He's teaching them. Here's what I want you to know about the kingdom. If you're going to be part of this kingdom, you're going to be following the kingdom of God, and you're going to follow me, here's what you need to know. And this is one of those things. He said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, because those are the people that will be called children of God. If you want to know what it's like to be or want to be a children of God, one of those things that he calls us to is to be peacemakers. He goes on to say this, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Listen, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. One of those qualities, listen, one of those qualities of those people that say, I'm a follower of Jesus, I love the Lord, is that we are peacemakers. Jesus modeled it for us, and then he calls us to it. He goes on to say, listen, he causes the sun to rise with the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the disgusting tax collectors, right? The lowest of the low. Don't they even do that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? And then he calls them to this. He said, if you're going to follow me in this, I want you to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. I want you to strive to be perfect in this area. Now, he knows his followers won't reach that level, right? He knows that. He knows his disciples, right? And he knows those people. He knows us. He said, but I want you to fight for it. Don't just toss it up and be like, oh, no big deal. I don't like Uncle so-and-so. I don't like Aunt so-and-so. And that's just the way it is in our life. We're dysfunctional, right? We just label it. We just say, we're just dysfunctional like everybody else. But he's saying, listen, if you want to be my follower, if you're going to be a follower of me, one of the qualities of my followers is to be a peacemaker. Here's what I want you to see in this. What if when Jesus called his disciples and the people that would follow him, the people that heard him, and he said, listen, be a peacemaker, what if he had a blessing in it for you? What if he had a blessing in it for his followers that if you will be peacemakers with the people in the relationship around you, coworkers, husbands, wives, kids, if you fight to do what I ask you to do, here's the blessing I have for you. More peace. What if when he said that, he wasn't just giving a qualification of being a disciple? I think he was doing that. But what if he was saying, listen, in the midst of you fighting and becoming who I want you to be and being a peacemaker, even with those enemy people that you don't like, even with those people who are going to come and sit around your Christmas table, even those people at work who just don't understand you, if you do this, what if one of those things that was directed by the Prince of Peace would be that you will have more peace, not less peace, in your life? What if Jesus had that in mind for you and I? That, Jeff, I want you, with those people that are really, you're really wrestling to get along with, I want you to have humility like I had. I want you to be a good listener. I want you to instruct and share with them. I want you to be kind to them. And what if in doing that, Jesus was saying, listen, you'll have peace. I've come. I've come to give you peace. You will have peace. First off, is that Jesus comes as the Prince of Peace in our war with God. Secondly, Jesus comes as a Prince of Peace in our relationship with other people. Third, if you're taking notes, Jesus is our Prince of Peace in the trials. Jesus is our Prince of Peace in the trials. One of the things I think that oftentimes gets misunderstood about the Christian life, and sometimes by Christians, is that somehow accepting Jesus would give us the easy life. That sometimes when we accept Jesus, we'll say, oh, then everything's gonna get better. And the reality is, and I see some of your heads shaking because you know the truth is not in that. I know, but sometimes the world around us, the outside world, looks in and think, well, your life should be better, right? If you know God and God is so good, then you should have a better life. And we all know that's not true. And in fact, it's not even taught in the Bible. In fact, quite the opposite is true in the Bible. Jesus never promised the easy life. Look what he says in John 16:32. A time is coming, and in fact has come, when you will be scattered. It doesn't seem like when you get scattered, like that's the easy life, right? That seems like something's going on that I don't want to be a part of, so we scatter, right? And for them, it was the disciples, and they were afraid that they were going to be imprisoned or killed. So not the easy life. Each to your own home, you will leave me. This is Jesus saying, you will leave me. Yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I have told you these things so that in me you may have what? Peace. In me that you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. What is Jesus saying right off the bat? Listen, things are going to go down tomorrow. It's going to be hard. You're going to be scared. You're going to fear for your own life, so much so that you're going to run, and you're not going to know what to do. And some of you feel that anxiety and the tension in your own life, but Jesus says to them, listen, in the most fearful moment that they probably would ever experience, in the most, I don't understand what's going on moment, he says, but in me, you will have peace. In me, you will have peace. Jesus again says this. He told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Doesn't sound easy. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Listen, whether he's speaking, and I think he's speaking about both, metaphorically speaking, like give up your life for me, honor me with your life. There's things that you need to get rid of and just honor me. I think he's saying that. And also some of them, and even unto today, people are actually losing their physical life for him. Either way, what he's saying does not sound easy to me. Can I get an amen? That seems difficult. So Jesus never came onto the scene and said, listen, I'm gonna whisk you all away to a dream state where it'll be happy and peaceful and joyful all the time, and there'll be no troubles in your life. And you can tell people that when they say, well, how could your God be so good? Or maybe your mind starts to say, how could God be so good? You can say, well, I never was promised it would be easy, but I was promised peace. And so I want you to see this morning. Jesus is that Prince of Peace between our trials. Listen, all this I've spoken while still with you, but the advocate, who's the advocate? The Holy Spirit, right? Whom the Father will send in my name will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Now listen to what he says here, 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives, short, temporary kinds of peace. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Confident words by the Savior, by the Prince of Peace. I think it's words that we need to hold on so tightly to. And I know many of you know Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Why? And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I would just say this morning. Some of you are in that place where you're like, I don't know, that megaphone is so stinking loud. I can't turn it down. It's perpetual in my life. I mean, Jeff, you're talking about the holiday season. And yeah, it's louder now, but it seems like it's always there. And I would say this, go before the Prince of Peace and say, turn the megaphone down. I want to hear your voice. Because you told me that I could have this peace that goes beyond my own understanding, that surpasses what I know to be true. You'll go past that. I need that peace in my life. I need that peace in my trials. This is a phrase that maybe some of you heard. Peace is not the absence of trials, but the presence of God. Peace is not the absence of trials, because we'll never face that this side of heaven. Peace is not the absence of trials, but the presence of God in our lives. Some of us just need to reach out and say, God, I want you to be in my life. Okay. Jesus is the Prince of Peace in our war with God. Jesus is our Prince of Peace, and he shows us how to interact with others. Jesus is our Prince of Peace in trials. We've got one more. This is my favorite. I love this one. Jesus is the Prince of Peace that offers us the hope of heaven. Jesus is the Prince of Peace that offers us the hope of heaven. This is the hope that when everything else is going wrong, and we have all these things going on in our lives, and we just can't get past them, that we just kind of say, yeah, but there's something better coming. Yeah, my hope is for the next thing that happens next. And for some of you, I know you live with this hope because you've lost loved ones who've gone on before you, and you can't wait for that moment where this pain is gone, and the missingness is gone, and the messiness is gone, and you can just say, I will be with them again, and I will be with my Savior. This is for us, the Christian, who've called on the name of Jesus. This is our hope of heaven. He is that Prince of Peace that offers this. I want you to see this passage. I love it. Revelation 21:1. This is John writing. He says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. Now catch this. I love this. This is the hope of heaven. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Jesus is the Prince of Peace that offers us the hope of heaven. My hope for you this morning is that you will see this more clearly maybe than ever before, that when things get hard in this life and they seem insurmountable, and maybe sometimes they are, that you would be able to say, listen, I've got something else coming, where every tear will be wiped away, there will be no more death, because the former things, the things that were hard and nasty and difficult, they're gone, they're done away with. I sit with my Father in heaven and my loved ones in peace. Jesus is that Prince of Peace. Let me just give you a couple things real quick and then we're gonna close. A couple points that I just, as I was thinking, I was like, oh man, listen to this. God is using, could be using this season and this megaphone to bring to your attention something that's always been there or has been there throughout the year. But for some reason, the megaphone of the holiday has brought it out even more clearly to you. So I'd ask you this morning, maybe as you're listening, what has God been sharing with you through that megaphone at times where you feel like, man, it's so loud in my ears, it's so loud in my ears. What is that thing? That thing that you just can't kick, that you can't get past. And maybe God is gonna use this season to come in and offer you that peace that you've been wanting all along. You just had to identify it. You just had to say, this is what it is. And God, I need your peace in this area of my life. And the holiday season, 2014, may be that time when you just experience God's peace in that all the more. The second thing I'd say this, maybe you just forgot to ask. I mean, it seems so obvious, but if I look at my own life, there are times where I run and I run and I run fast as I can, because oftentimes I'm trying to avoid the megaphone in my head. I'm trying to say, get away, get away. I want to run. So I'll do more things and I'll run faster and faster. But maybe you just forgot to stop and say, oh, my God is the God of peace. I can ask him for peace over this situation. I can ask him to make me a peacemaker with my relatives and my friends. Oh. Maybe for the first time, I see very clearly that this peace is from unrest from the Creator God, who is the God of peace, and I don't have that relationship. I need that relationship. I desire it. Prince of Peace, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Sometimes it just takes stopping and listening and being sensitive and quiet as you listen to his voice. The last thing is this. I would just ask you, take this message this morning. If all of us did this, take this message this morning and give it to your families. Give it to your wife. Give it to your husband. Give it to your kids. Give it to your coworkers at work when you go back to work tomorrow. Give it to them. Hand it to them. But listen, I'd ask you not to do it in CD form. That's powerful. It's good. You could do that. I would just ask you give them in practical application in your own life. That you would become what Jesus called us to be, a peacemaker. Someone who dispenses peace to people, maybe sometimes often that don't deserve it. So I want you to share this message with people in your family on Christmas around your table. Maybe they'll be like, whoa, what happened to that guy? What happened to her? Why aren't you making fun of me? Why aren't you yelling at me? Why aren't you calling me names like everybody else? Maybe you would just say, listen, I'm different. I got a hold of the God of peace, and I'm a different person. I want you to take this message to them and share it. Amen? Listen, we have a God of peace. We worship the Prince of Peace. We need to be what? People of peace. Let's pray. God, I do thank you this morning, Lord, as you've been wrestling with this in my own life, in my own heart. Lord, I do believe absolutely 100% that you will do work when people ask and open up their hearts and they say, Lord, I want you to do this work in my life. There's things that this megaphone's been yelling. I believe this morning you want to do some peace work in their lives. For some, it's a complete reconstruction of pulling them back together again because they've had such unrest. But maybe for the first time, they're going to call out to your name this morning. And you're gonna piece them back together little by little. For others, Lord, it's that megaphone that's so loud and it's the only thing they can hear. Lord, I pray you'd turn that megaphone down this morning, Lord, so they could hear you. The most important voice that we could ever hear, that we could ever pay attention to, is your voice, Lord Jesus. And I pray this morning, those megaphones would be turned down
and we would hear your voice. We'd center our lives on your voice. Lord, do work here this morning. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.